Hello.
Oh, please don't put that in the
podcast. I'm not putting it in.
Okay. You promise?
Yeah, I promise. welcome. Trying to run away from me, the mic. Welcome to Suck Off.
Suck Off.
I want to get a like Stewie impression. It's like, suck off. It's just a very normal sounding.
Yeah, it's really like, hello, welcome to Suck Off.
Come on, man. Yeah. this is episode 2.
Valter.
Very straightforward with the episode name here. It's just about Valter, kind
right.
of. Also, yeah, we'll get into it.
I'll be honest, fine episode.
Very fine episode. I was thinking that when I was watching it. I'm like, this is just kind of a... They're checking some things off.
Right, because there's this like kind of antagonist-ish from season one, Lawrence Yee.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, how do we deal with him so we can have our primary antagonist
for
the rest of the season?
Yeah. Dude, yeah. They kind of just... You're right. This episode is just kind of like, we need to get rid of him and accomplish some things at the same time. Like,
and it's like, from a character standpoint, like it is very... like, obviously, they write things so we can understand more about the characters. That is how TV works.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was also... It just feels like a means to an end episode.
Yeah. There are some important things that happen here.
Sure.
We'll start off... The episode starts with them at the park, the theme park, where Greg is...
What's his kid's name again?
Oh, geez.
Not Iverson.
I know
what's
Iverson.
What's the other one's name?
Oh, God. I forgot her name.
All right.
But well, it's her birthday.
It's her birthday.
They rented out the park. Is that what happened?
Something like that.
She got to meet Icy something. Icy Jones, I want to say. No, Snow Joe. Snow
Mr. Cool.
Joe. Yeah. And he's like, how fast can we take it? And she's like, to a limit. And he's like, well, we'll take it to that limit then. And yeah, that's just, there's a hug between the two. It's just so depressing. It's just... I was telling Cookie, I'm like, I know watching season one and you see the way people talk about Kendall online, you're like, what is the hype behind this guy? Like, why do people care about this guy so much? And then you watch season two and you're like, all right, I feel bad for this guy. Like, you just feel bad for him because it's like he's grieving over this awful situation and he's like riddled with guilt and like clearly just needs to like go to rehab for more than 48 hours and like decompress and all anyone around him can do is like honestly Logan just throws him back into like fucking people over and it's just so awful. It's so hard to watch.
I never considered how alone he is in this grief. He can't tell anybody.
No,
that's
what sucks.
That's also the thought I had during this episode and the last one is like, I wish there were more people who gossiped in this show because then a lot more would get done.
Yeah. Oh my God, there was a key thing in the last episode that I wanted to bring up, which is his conversation with Colin in like the basement where Colin's like recapping the car accident to him. And there's like a tiny detail that I know means absolutely nothing, but I wanted to run with, where Colin was like, Marcia's son, or no, okay, so he said someone found the entry card.
Yes.
And it was someone who I trust that's close, but he never explains who it was.
Right.
And my mind was like, that's got to be Marcia's son.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Right.
I assumed it was, and I was like, that was him. But another part of me was like, maybe it was Greg who found the entry card.
Ooh.
I know.
Oh,
I know.
Damn.
And that's... Anyway, that was a small thing I wanted to bring up last episode.
Yeah, just edit it in or not.
Totally nothing moment, but I was like, worth bringing up. Anyway, Kendall's just miserable again.
Right, and is alone in that grief and has to go to his fucking kid's birthday party and then is called, like, back to the Lion's Den.
Yeah.
With Roman and Shiv.
Yeah. There's a moment where Kendall actually thanks Logan for like the whole theme park thing. And he's like, thanks. She had the time of her life. She got to meet Snow Joe. And he seems like so like genuine when he tells him this. And Logan just doesn't really respond. He just kind of looks at him. And it's just like,
he's just like me for real.
I was just like sort of rooting for like one nice moment between the two and nothing.
Funny.
Nothing. Yeah, he's just like, okay, all right. Mondale's back. The dog. Mondale does come back. I thought, you know, some of the suck off heads would go crazy about this. They brought back Mondale very briefly to just be like, bye, Mondale.
I was so excited when he had his cameo.
Yeah.
I was like, he's back!
He
portends doom.
It's in the scene with Tom and Shiv. Tom's kind of like, I want a big portrait of us. She's like, no. And it's kind of like, it's the first sign of like, this marriage is not going to work. It's not the first sign, but it's just like, he really wants to have sex. Mm-hmm. She has no interest in it. But I think it's a nice detail because it kind of plants the way sex is used in this marriage between the two. And how it is like a genuine want for Tom. And Shiv only really acts on it when she like needs to get this power over him.
Yeah.
Which happens later on in the episode, but just thought it
means to an end. It is also like, that is applicable to so many things. Like, they hit copy and paste for every single Tom and Shiv interaction.
Yeah.
In a way that I, you know, it's not boring ever to watch, but it's like, no. Tom wants a big wedding. He wants, oh, also he still has his own last name. He didn't get to be Tom Roy.
Yeah.
Like, he wants all these like sweet romantic things that like, you know, many partners would want. And she just doesn't want that. And like, fair, girl boss. But then she like kind of strings him along and, you know, he's just, he doesn't see it.
Yeah.
He's too blinded by love.
This is a very, if this accomplishes anything, this episode, it's a lot. It's how Tom is treated and responds to the way he's been treated.
Tell me more.
Okay, we'll get into it. I just, it's near the end of the episode. I guess we'll jump ahead here right now while I'm talking about it. At the end of the night, they do come back and Tom's kind of not in the mood to have sex, mostly because they had a dinner beforehand where Shiv, like, feeling full of herself for like this new power that she has, basically is like kind of poking fun at his suits. Roman's making fun of his suits. He's calling him like a transformer and a robot, which is usually funny, but I kind of felt bad for Tom in that moment. I was like, God damn it. It's like, he's cold. He has a cold. He's sick. He's right in front of the woman from his bachelorette party. Which is like,
so funny of Roman to keep dating Tabitha and keep inviting Shiv and Tom to stuff.
Yes. And she's like, you could try swallowing something. And he was like, honey. And he's like, yeah. brilliant callback.
So good.
But yeah, he's basically getting shitted on the whole night.
Did you say shitted?
Shat on.
No, I like shitted on.
You know the Nicki Minaj song, Shitted On Him? It's great. Have you never heard that song?
I used to be a barb. I'm not saying I'm not a barb anymore, but I've never heard Shitted On Him.
Shitted On Him. No, or it's Did It On Him, but then she rhymes it with Shitted On Him.
Awesome. A lyricist of our generation. I love her, and I'm sincere about that.
One of the best rap albums. I did not follow through with my Nicki phase. I just
interesting
was really into that album anyway. Why did I bring that up? Tom is having a bad episode. He thought he was gonna be like the CEO. He thought she was gonna get this to him.
Instead he has to work at ATN, where
which things are not going well for him there.
No, now he basically works at like Fox News, which like, the whole thing is, it's like Fox News proper.
Yeah.
He has a meeting with someone who is his boss or his coworker.
Sid.
Sid. I'm not sure if she's,
I don't know where she is in the power rankings. Yeah. She was like, she has a great line where she's like, Logan sent me like four of you. Yeah. She's like, I get a new one of you guys every four years.
You're a cappuccino drinking motherfucker who like, none of our audience cares about people like you. And you do not understand our audience. Why would we care about your opinion?
Exactly.
And he's like, well, your demographic is like geriatric and I could get younger people. And she's like, all right, good luck.
Yeah. He's not very, and Greg is a great character. He does his thing where he like kind of brings out Tom's own insecurities about things, where it's a really funny scene because he's like, I don't know, I'm against racism. And Tom's like, we're all against racism, Greg. But it's like, he's kind of bringing up the fact that like, yeah, Tom, we're working for pretty shitty, toxic.
Definitely a we're the bad guys moment.
Yeah. And Tom doesn't really want to admit that. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell how Tom moves forward. I think he just leans into it because Greg is like, yeah, I was thinking maybe we could digitize ATN. And the way Tom responds, he's like, how many skulls is that? And Greg is like, I think it's like 50 skulls. And it's just like, I think he just like leans into the whole like evil part.
Yeah, because he was given he was given a task, and also he has something like emotionally to prove. Like, I'm not here to fuck around.
Yeah.
So like, number one, we're gonna save money, and number two, I'm gonna look ruthless doing it.
Yeah.
Which like optics have a big part with the rest of the episode of like, how are we going to look by doing XYZ?
Right.
Which, did we talk about what Shiv's up to this episode?
Not quite yet.
Yeah, all right.
I think we started with Tom.
Because I want to end with like Roman and Kendall's adventures. But Shiv is up to her own, I don't know.
She's up to her own stuff.
Shit.
Basically, this is all leading up to this scene near the end where they come back, where you think like they've been waiting all day to go home and talk and bang, is how right. they put it. And Shiv is like kind of in the mood, not really, but Tom is definitely not in the mood anymore because right. he's just like, I thought I was going to be something bigger than this. And she's like, you're going to be something so much bigger. And he's like, what? And she's like, we'll figure something out for you.
Mm-hmm.
He's like kind of upset about it basically. And she's like, I need you. There's no one else I can talk to about this, which I think is the core of that relationship. It's like, she's just needs him because he's the only person to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's his only purpose in her life.
Right.
And I think Tom takes that and uses it to get back at Shiv later on in season 3.
Well,
because it's like, she'll go to him about anything, assuming it won't leave him.
Mm-hmm.
And also, yeah, it's just...
I was so mad this episode when Logan was like, we need to put you on a 3-year track to be CEO, and she was mad about it?
I know. Well, oh my God, that was so frustrating because it's like, he pitches that, and then he's like, well, we'll do it like next week or something. He like pitch, and he's like, it's too soon or it's too long. Like, what do you want? And
right.
she's like, I just want to do the process right. And I'm like, you can't have it your way here. Like, be grateful for the situation and like...
Mm-hmm.
Go about it how you feel like you need to. It's, I don't know. That was just very frustrating.
It's like, you're going to be the CEO of like one of the biggest companies in the entire world.
Right.
And like 3 years is too long for
yeah.
you. Like someone who's never been a chief executive anywhere or an executive anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. Shiv, girl, stop fumbling the bag.
And a lot of it is because she's afraid of having to like confront Gil about this, which is mm-hmm. another thing that happens in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, if you're too afraid about confronting that or Tom, that's the other thing. She's like, I don't know how to bring this up to Tom. I'm like, if you can't hurt Tom and Gil,
mm-hmm.
how are you going to lead such a toxic company? Like, how are you going to be the CEO?
But you know what? Doesn't matter about Gil anymore because she got her ass fired.
Got her ass fired. Claims she quit. Definitely nah, got fired.
Because Gil shakes somebody's hand or like yeah. does whatever. And then she's like, do you want hand sanitizer after touching the proles?
Yeah.
I was like, Shiv, are you on Reddit.com?
Dude.
Where did that come from?
She's just like getting a little too ahead of, not a little, a lot.
Too big for her britches.
Yeah.
Because he had exactly. even offered her chief of staff when he gets into the White House.
Yep.
And she blows it.
She blows
Shiv,
it.
Shiv, stop yeah. it.
Great foreshadowing to like how she blows this whole
right.
this current
it seems
situation.
Like you said, I can't remember if you said this episode 1 or 2, but like season 1's Kendall's season that he blows.
Yeah.
Season yep. 2 is Shiv's that she blows. Season 3, not even a spoiler, Roman's going to blow it. You know
and
what I mean?
And he blows like... it in the funniest way. We will not talk about
no,
it yet. But
that shit's
oh
awesome.
My God.
Like they're just blowing it. Like
they blow it. And it's why, now we're getting way too ahead of ourselves, but it's why season 4 makes sense. Like,
you know, let's see Connor blow the presidency.
So yeah, basically, what else is there to say about Shiv? She's basically, she got fired.
Right.
Now
she's got to go work at Waystar, tail between her legs. Has
yeah.
no leverage anymore. Like.
No. No, there's not a lot going well for Shiv.
Yeah.
What about Kendall this episode?
I'm so excited to talk about this.
Yeah.
All right. So he and Roman are tasked by Logan to identify parts of Waystar that like that are the fat. Like you do need to trim the fat
yeah.
in addition to like dealing with this fucking hostile takeover plan.
Yeah.
And that is identified very quickly as Valter.
Yes.
Valter is like a money pit. We are throwing it at nothing. We are getting nothing out of it.
Yeah.
Can you two go investigate to see like what we can do about this situation?
Yeah.
And they go, so Roman and Kendall, as co-COOs,
yep.
go to Valter. They sniff around. Kendall spends time in his office, like, actually pouring over the data, the numbers, yeah. the analytics.
Well, they're like, just keep giving him paperwork. And he's just, like, sitting in there and...
He's, yeah. I assume, actually going over it based on the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
Then Roman is like, I have no idea what to do because I don't know how to do a business. So he takes out several employees. And, like, the next day, they each return to Logan with... their recommendations
yeah.
for what they're going to do about the Valter problem.
Yeah.
And Kendall's recommendation is, I poured over the numbers. Like, yes, it's kind of bullshit, but also they just need adults in the room. If there's actually someone analyzing all the data that they have or, like, identifying ways that they make money, then we can make then we can play ball, you know? Because
yeah.
right now they just, like, post all this content and we don't really know what's sticking and what's not.
Yeah.
Roman, however, has the complete opposite plan, which this is the only part that has any gossip in it, and gossiping works. Roman's like, I was gossiping with some of the office employees, and they're going to unionize.
Yeah.
That will be even more of a money pit for Waystar. We need to squash Walter.
Yeah.
And Logan is like, oh shit, let's do Roman's thing.
Yeah.
We're squashing Walter. And Kendall's like, no. So
I read the papers.
I read the papers.
I did the research.
So then, and honestly, here's the thing. I'm so bad at TV shows understanding, like, what's going to happen next. Mm. Like, I'm never good at predicting. If I ever predict on this show, like, don't ever listen to me. However, this is the one episode where I was like, I know for a fact when Kendall goes, because he does go and he says, like, I'm going to try and save Walter.
Yeah.
Like, I believe in you guys, blah, blah, blah. I knew he was lying the entire fucking time. I was like, not for a second do I believe he's doing this. And that turned out to be true. Because, so Kendall goes, he approaches everyone, he's like, hey guys, like, please don't unionize. I have a plan to get you guys more health benefits. Like, I'm a good guy. Please listen to me. And they're like, okay. Then, the next day, Kendall comes in and he's like, by the way, everybody, you are fired. You have 15 minutes to leave the building. You have one, like, week of severance for every year you've worked here.
Yep.
See you later. Goodbye. Fuck you.
Yeah.
For everyone at home, I was putting up my middle fingers. And they're all like, what the fuck, why? And he's like, well, I needed an extra day to actually identify how you guys make money, and it's food and wine. Or, I'm sorry, food and weed. So I put those guys on the seventh floor, and the rest of you are fired. Go fuck yourselves. And Lawrence is like, how could you do this to me? And Kendall is like, because my dad told me to, which is so funny because Lawrence could have prevented Logan from working at the company had he voted in that vote of no confidence.
Oh, man. Dude, you're so right.
Right.
You're so right.
So it's like twisting the knife even more of like, because my dad told me to. And my dad wouldn't have to tell me shit if you voted to remove him, but you didn't. So here we are.
Yeah, dude. That is kind of like, on the surface, you're like, damn, it's another scene where Kendall is going to have to get like yelled at and spit at or spit on. But he kind of turns it around and he's like, go fly or go raid some other chicken coop or something.
He says, go raid some other chicken coop, cunt.
I didn't want to say it. I was like, I'm going to let you do the quote. And he kind of turns it around and you're like, okay. He knows what he's doing. Even though his dad told him to, it's like, this is on Lawrence.
I read it more than anything as like, Kendall is so broken, like, nothing else is gonna break him. So it's like, all right, I'm gonna go do this dirty work. Like, he's broken like a fucking dog.
When he spits on him, he's like, is that the best you got?
Yeah.
Which is just so, broken.
Yeah, it's like, somehow it manages to be so hard and yet so pathetic.
Pathetic, yeah.
But it's like, damn, that line goes pretty hard.
Yeah. A nice, we skipped over Roman a little bit. Nice detail about his whole situation here is after they decide to gut Walter, Roman is kind of like, I can relate to this. He's in disbelief. He's like, damn, a thing I said is actually going to happen. And she's like, yeah, doing your job. And he's like, I don't know if that's the right move. And I'm like, I just think it's a really funny human moment where he's like, maybe that it's not the right choice here. And like a little insecure about his decision, not really comfortable with this kind of power.
Mm-hmm. But
What
I love most about this episode is that Walter is like a stand-in for like Vox, BuzzFeed, whatever fucking Walter thing you want to say. I said Walter. That's the name of it. That's what I meant. A vulture is what I meant.
Vulture, yeah.
I meant to say vulture. And the main apparatus through which we get online reviews of Succession is dumb websites like BuzzFeed, Walter. And so I, sorry, this is a little meta, like wanted to see what all those girlies had to say about it. And it's just so funny to see like the cognitive dissonance because like,
what Succession character are you? That's probably the website.
Right. And it's like, this episode does spend a lot of time like making fun of companies like that, like these kombucha drinking, like cattle floor plan office, like bullshit jobs or whatever. And like it is just like a completely unsustainable business model to have no subscriptions and to only run your stuff on ad revenue. Like for journalism, I don't know. It's just like nobody's found a way to do that online yet and be like a completely, I don't know. Everyone's trying to find ways to make BuzzFeed's et al.
Yeah,
work.
Yeah.
I saw this thing on Twitter that's like, BuzzFeed fired a bunch of people and just like plans on using AI to write these like stupid listicles. Like,
it already seems like it's written by AI, to be honest. No offense to the people that
they're that there,
but didn't mean to. Yeah.
But it is like, God, what are we all doing?
Yeah.
And so I thought it was funny to like read those reviews and see what those people took away from the episode.
Yeah. It's funny. It kind of speaks to the time that this season was made, and this was like 2018, 2017, I want to say.
Okay.
I think it premiered in 2019, but like, yeah, I feel like BuzzFeed was a lot more alive and well at that time. And it's funny looking at it now, BuzzFeed being kind of relying on AI. Like, yeah, it's just very interesting. Anyway.
So, fun stuff.
Also, Roman, and I'm pretty sure the last scene, not the last scene. We'll talk about the last scene. But when Kendall kind of goes to his dad and is like, I did it. This is how it happened. And is like, I'll like stand it, like I forget how he puts it. He's like, I'll just live up to it. Like I can wear this. And even though Logan is trying to like cushion it a little bit, it honestly makes Kendall out to seem like pretty cool and competent. And he's like, he did a good job with what he had to do. And he promotes him and he's like, you can stay up here in this office or whatever. And Roman is kind of like, what the fuck? I came up with that idea and now he's getting promoted. Like it's just a tense moment. And Cookie made a good point that Roman just is so oblivious to the fact that Logan is keeping his enemies closer and thinks that Kendall keeps getting these promotions, but like is so unaware of what's actually happening. And yeah, I just think it's funny how little Roman knows.
Roman just does not know business.
He doesn't know business. He doesn't know the family, really. Like, he doesn't know what's happening.
He knows gossip, and he should keep using that to his advantage. That would be my advice to Roman. Is truly. That you should gossip.
All of Roman's best moments come from, like, these bathroom moments where he's just, like, kind of shooting the shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's where he gets things out of people.
Because he's the most personable of the Roy siblings.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that he has no interest in humanity or the well-being of other people, he is the most charming.
Yes.
Like, Shiv, not charming. Kendall, not very charming.
Connor, psychotic.
Right. But Roman is likable, and it's, like, I think that also is, like, actor informing the character, because, like, you know, he was kind of written like that to start with, but the more Kieran Culkin is just, like, endlessly charming as Roman, this ugly, ugly character.
Yeah.
Like, the more it continues to work to his advantage to write him in a bathroom, finding something out, and then, like, delivering that to somebody else. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. I don't know. I'm assuming maybe you knew this. One of my favorite Succession trivias is that, Jeremy Strong originally auditioned for Roman and was really pushing to be Roman. And he was like, no, I think that's me. And
I'm funny.
Jesse Armstrong and Adam McKay were like, you are definitely Kendall Roy. And he was very intimidated by the character at first. And now he's...
Is he like usually a comedic actor? Do you know?
No, I think he's a very serious, dramatic actor.
Always but like, the funniest
we'll
ones.
Play comedy very seriously.
Of course.
And that's why it's so funny.
That's why he's one of the funniest characters on the show. Yeah. Like, he does funny shit all the time. It's just like through this.
It's very serious. Right. Yeah. The last scene of the episode, I don't know if there's anything else to talk about.
No, let's do it.
Last scene, Kendall, this is off of the gutting, got promoted. Mm-hmm. He's on the motorcycle. He stops at this bodega where he gets cigarettes, a white lighter, which, do you know about the white lighter theory?
No.
I gotta reference Cookie again, who told me about this. The white lighter myth, it's a curse. It's an urban legend based on the 27 Club, in which it is claimed several musicians and artists died while in possession of a white disposable cigarette lighter, leading such items to become associated with bad fortune. And I think this show is too tightly written and aware to make that an accident that he picked out the white lighter.
Interesting.
Which a lot of people are like, that's just foreshadowing Kendall's inevitable overdose.
Mm-hmm.
Who's to say what actually happens, but...
Also, the 27 Club, I assume, refers to the, like, legion of celebrities who died at 27 years old.
Yes, yes.
For listeners.
Of drug overdoses, yeah. So, very interesting detail.
That is interesting. Thank you, Cookie.
But he also steals batteries and then walks out, throws the batteries in the trash and rides away.
Yeah, baby.
Which is, I wanted to get your take on that because I want to say it's just kind of like he just stealing to steal? Like what is, what do you read his motivations as there?
Kendall believes he is a good person. Mm-hmm. He's thought that the entire show.
Right.
This episode, he was tasked with firing people who are trying to unionize, who make, I assume, $15 an hour to sit there like 40 hours a week.
Yes.
He then got spit on. He had to face Lawrence, this person he's who he spent all this money acquiring this guy's business just to like cast him aside. All of this because his dad told him to.
Yeah.
Like, he had to do all this bullshit, all this shit eating, just because, like, he has no power.
Yeah.
When he goes and he steals this one little thing, he has control over this little corner of his own universe. He can feel like he did something for himself. And that thing is shoplifting. Like, yeah. That is the one power that you can exert. And he's obviously not consciously thinking this, but, like, these things just like have a way of creeping in where you're like at this low point, you can't get any lower, and it's like, ah, fuck it, like I just want to feel something. Yeah. Or I don't know, like you have control in this chaotic, ever-changing. Yeah. Universe.
That is a very beautiful way of putting that. Because yeah, he's like he's doing the coke throughout the episode, but there is the bathroom scene where it's like he does coke and then he throws the towel paper towel himself. Such a sad, really well shot scene. I love how like grimy and jittery the camera is. But yeah, you're right, that was like his little thing for himself there. Could just take the battery because he can,
because he can.
Yeah,
most things he cannot do.
Yeah,
like he cannot get his own job, he cannot not piss off a bunch of people and like have this horrible image of himself online. But you know he can do
steal batteries from a bodega,
use those five fingers to get a discount.
Yeah.
You ever heard the five finger discount?
No.
Yeah, if it fits in your five fingers and then also your pocket.
That's great. So yeah, it's like that. Yeah, it's a really good final scene. Mm-hmm. Say what you will about the episode, it is full of iconic Succession scenes between You Don't Have Principles, Greg.
Yeah.
Between fucking the spitting on and the Walter gutting, and then there's that. That's just like a lot of really good scenes.
Yeah.
This is a tough one. Who won? Who lost this episode?
I honestly think Shiv lost.
Yeah, I think I might have Shiv as the loser. Oh, I didn't even put down a...
Yeah, did you put down a winner?
I guess I had to decide right now. Yeah. I was thinking about who won. Mm-hmm. It's not Kendall. But of the group, Kendall, of the siblings, I guess Kendall's doing the best. Connor and Willa had a big party that all went on their bill. They lost a lot of money. Awesome. With that hotel. No, Greg! Greg won, even though people were like sleeping in his bed and or having sex at that party.
Right.
Greg got a huge fucking apartment.
Why did we talk about this? Goddamn.
Well, it's like, yeah, it's worth bringing up. Kendall buys him this apartment or lets him have the apartment more. Mm-hmm. But he's already bought the...
Greg won.
Greg went from the shitty, tiny apartment. Not even shitty. When I was looking at that apartment, I'm like, that for New York City, that was a good place.
Right.
I would kill for that. But yeah, he gets this massive apartment. Not a lot of downsides for Greg. Mm-mm. Loser, probably Shiv. Yeah, she gets fired.
Yeah. You know? Like, and also Kendall for eating shit this entire episode. Like, I know he sort of stays at the same place that he is, which is like close to Logan and like still eating shit, but it's like, God, it was just like twisting the knife in this episode. It's hard to not say Kendall, but also Shiv.
You know what? I think Tom is below Shiv, though, because Shiv at the end of that scene did use sex. That's something Tom is so desperate for in this relationship to get out of this conversation about the fact that she's gonna be CEO. Mm-hmm. So I would say Tom is kind of the loser. He's got a shitty position at ATN. Mm-hmm. You know, is trying to make it seem like something better than it is.
Sid hates him.
Shiv doesn't want to have sex with him for real.
I honestly,
he's got a cold.
Right.
He's got a cold.
Big L. I want to see, and I know everyone's going to say, Christian, like, you are too horny on this podcast, but it's not because of this. I genuinely want to see a Tom and Shiv sex scene because I want to know how they have sex.
Yeah, they always cut right before it happens. Yeah.
Right. I know that it's leaving up to our imagination of this, like, cold and lifeless sex, but I'll tell you, I want to see it. It would be really funny.
Oh, man. Oh, jeez. Yeah. I want to see a Tom and Greg sex.
That, you know what? That is more true. Passionate. Like,
more passionate.
Tender candles.
And what's crazy about this show is there's a good chance that one day happens. Who's to say? There'll be a kiss. I know that much.
Whoa.
Anyway, that does it for this episode.
A Lady Can Dream.
A decent episode. Not the best. I agree. Not the best.
But still, like, even the worst ever episode of Succession, which I don't even know if it's this one, is still better than, like, most TV. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's season one, episode two, which we've talked about.
Fuck you.
The hospital episode.
You're lame.
Don't like that episode. Anything to plug?
Well, I still have my podcast, Busted Business Bureau. Sorry, I don't know why I got weird. I don't do projects. Like, oh, yeah. No, you know what? I've never mentioned this on the podcast. I have a dueling piano show.
Yeah, why'd you ever?
I forget. A girl can forget. But I do, like, this dueling piano show. It's at Galway Bay every other Wednesday, and it's at the Lincoln Lodge, like, once a month. It's really fun.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to plug?
What?
Even though it's not confirmed.
Tell me.
We might have a live show.
No, I think
we get, well, the tickets aren't up. There's not any event listed, but just know that it's most likely.
It's like booked. Like,
yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
It's up to me of whether or not we have a live show because I work at the venue.
We're doing a season 3 finale / season 4 episode 1 watch party.
Yes. March 26th.
A live like the what you're used to here live, plus you get to watch the new episode with us.
Yes,
it's gonna be a night to remember
and a night that I will forget because I will black out.
It's gonna be great. So more info on that in the future.
Yep,
but be on the lookout for that.
Bang bang.
Yeah, that does it. Thanks for listening, and as always, suck off.